What's going on, everybody? Welcome to another episode of League Pass and Chill. And we're all back.
Hey.
I think for the first time in, I want to say like 2 months.
Feels like
well,
forever.
Definitely 2 months, because that's when I left.
That's when Tom left. Mm. We have all five of us together. Now, in the future, we're not going to have all five of us because it's a lot of voices. But we figured we're finally all back in the same city. Let's just be amongst each other. I feel like that's the way we should be doing this.
Friendship.
Yeah. I'm Olgan Ulrich. I write about basketball for Fox Sports Australia. And I'll just introduce everyone around the room if you don't know them already, which you should. Karin Natalevich is next to me. Wait. Tom Hanley's over there. Ted Smith is there. And Harrison Pullinger.
When you say there, it's also kind of hard on
everyone knows what there means. Yeah. Yes.
They just assume it's a round table. I just went clock.
Yeah, but Tom's
a
little
quite
bit
far
away,
back from the table. So it's made, a little point to it. Mm.
Point is, we're all back together again, and what a time it's been. Tom, let's talk about ourselves just for a moment before we get into, what's going to be a big old chat about the back end of the season. That's kind of what we're approaching. So, Tom, how was your trip?
It was great. Yeah, very relaxing. A little too overwhelming at times as well.
Tell us about that Mexico story.
Went to Mexico. a little run-in with the cartel. It's nothing to really talk about.
That'll shut him up for a while.
just a great
trip.
Yeah,
cruising across three climates. Very hard to pack for, but we managed along the way.
Yeah. Mm. Did you want to... no, we're not going to do it. Harrison, how was your trip?
You don't want to talk about it? It's cool. We'll bring it up later.
I'm sure we will. Harrison, how was your trip?
Had a great trip. We caught some basketball. We saw some countries. We drove across four states in a night.
You say you mean you and your girlfriend, right?
No, this was Tom and I.
So was your girlfriend there?
She was there for the first part.
She was there for Mexico. Okay.
And yeah. She didn't drive four
what was,
states.
What was the dynamic there? With you, your girlfriend, and Cruzy? Was that good?
Yeah.
It was fine. We had a lot of fun.
It's not up to you.
Yeah, it is.
Okay.
Well, it's good to have you boys back. In all seriousness, it was great to see your faces. It had been a long while, Tom. Two months overseas.
It's a long time.
We actually had a pool going around. A lot of people thought you would never come back.
Including his father.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
Shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm, hoped I wouldn't come back, really.
Well, considering Tom's now living back at his parents, that may have been wishful thinking.
They love having me around.
So while all of us were gone, big ups to Guardian Ted for shouldering the load during... what was the All-Star period-y thing and then the trade deadline and sort of stuff.
Mm. As someone that works next to Olgan every day,
real
I'm
chat.
Used to I'm shouldering the chat. Load. So
well, there it is. It's real chat.
it's nice to have...
Great.
It's nice to have you guys back. It's nice to have the full dynamic, the full squad. So I think we should actually just get into the basketball.
The starting five, if you will. Basketball.
The only five.
All right, so Ted... Tom's going to go on another trip. Yeah,
turn my volume down.
We're very cool to play with four. It's fine. So the trade deadline was obviously one of the bigger moments of the season because it did provide for some dynamic changes, right? Let's quickly go around the table. Just, Gardy, what was your favorite trade so far from what you've seen from the few games that we have seen post All-Star break? What's the trade that you think either is your favorite or the one that you think looks like it's going to make a big impact long term?
Well, look, I'm banking on everyone having legitimate basketball answers here. So I'm just going to go with the one that made me happy.
Was I going to give you a tennis answer?
What? No.
Go on.
I'm just saying, like, obviously it's still too early to really know what trades are going to fully work out and which ones are going to fail. But, like, just from a me perspective, what makes Guddy happy? Just watching Jeremy Lin on a good basketball team for the Toronto Raptors has been really nice. Fred VanVleet's out injured right now with the Raptors, and he was watching on as Lin was leading that second unit against the San Antonio Spurs, and I reckon he was probably going like, I wonder if I'm going to have the full minutes that I expect to have when I come back from injury, because Jeremy Lin is a really good backup guard.
He's a pro.
Technically wasn't a trade, though. Wasn't it?
Oh, damn.
Oh, shit. Yeah, what am I even talking about?
Who knows?
That's actually good. Then I'll go...
welcome back, Tommy. Back to
start. You get everyone to check, check.
Deadline acquisitions.
It was a trade deadline acquisition.
Okay, then I'll go Landry Shamet in Los Angeles. And just that whole trade in general, just the Clippers getting rid of... making room in their cap and landing a shooter in Shamet, who is pretty fun to watch.
Shamit was really good and
showed
in
potential. He'd improved over the last 3 months for sure. Playing with confidence towards the back end of his Sixers career. So
I feel like him being so good allowed that trade to go down.
Oh, definitely.
And he gave the Clippers confidence that, okay, this guy's going to give us something.
On a team like the Clippers that are going to try build in free agency, you'd think, trying to land some big, big stars, Shamit's the kind of dude you can put around anyone and will be your winning piece.
Could be some big stars that he's around next year.
Ignore my first answer.
No, it was in the wheelhouse.
Yeah, it was in the wheelhouse.
It's worth a chat. And you know we've got strong Lin Love in this.
Yeah, exactly.
There's strong Lin Love.
It's always allowed.
I apologize to those at home who are probably like for about 2 minutes there going like, this guy's an idiot. Yeah. So thanks, Tom. But yeah, that's it.
Tommy, what... We'll broaden it. What trade or acquisition?
Well, mine was the actual trade for the Raptors, I think. The acquisition of... Marc Gasol and adding him, because they bring in that Embiid stopper now, that strong defensive presence in the middle of the paint. And they also, I don't think they really lose anything on offense as well. Like they always say that like when you go big, you kind of lose a little bit of pace, you lose a bit of ball movement because it just kind of gets dead in there. But he's one of the best passing big men in the league. Like he moves the ball around.
And he can shoot the three.
Yeah, and he can shoot the three. Yeah. And it also, they've kept enough of the players. They kept all the best players, really. They kept that small ball lineup there where they can start Ibaka at the five and go that run and gun kind of length speed lineup. And then when they need to get some steady it down, they throw Gasol in there. Or if they're playing a series against the Sixers, you'd think you'd start Gasol against Embiid.
Well, I think we saw a little bit of that in the game against the Spurs yesterday.
Yep.
Where... Marc Gasol only played 19 minutes, and that's because you can play Ibaka at the five, but when you come up against Joel Embiid, you're playing Marc Gasol big minutes, and you're clogging the paint that way.
Yeah,
so that's incredibly balanced.
I was happy that was the route they went, because there was talk that they were going to try and bring in Conley for Larry, but the Raptors, with Larry playing the point, have the second best offensive rating in the NBA, second to only... the Warriors, obviously, an offensive rating of 115. So, you know, I'm happy where the Raptors landed. But my favourite trade was actually Mirotić. Because if you have a look at his career, think to even this season, started super hot. He was averaging 30 points over the first couple of weeks. Cooled off in the middle. And again, that's what he's done historically throughout his career. Starts hot, goes cold, but does come hot again at the end of the season. And he's the type of player where obviously Bucks are going to make the playoffs, probably going to have the number one seed when we get down to the sharp end of the season. If they're in a playoff race and someone's doing a good job on Giannis, Mirotić is the type of dude who can win you a game. And
definitely.
That can have huge ramifications in the East this year. If the Bucks are as good as what we think they are, and you know, if they are going to make the finals, that one or two games Mirotić helps them win, which could easily happen. I think it could be huge for the NBA this year.
Yeah, Harrison,
my favorite trade, which I think both teams really came out quite nicely of this, was the Markel Fultz trade. I don't think Orlando gave up an Oklahoma City first round pick, a Cavs second round pick, and Jonathan Simmons. I thought it was a lot when I read it the first time. But you know, retrospectively, if Markel can get to some kind of level where he is a starting point guard in the NBA, that's actually not too much. And if God forbid he gets back to the point where he is the number one, worthy of the number one pick, it's a great trade. And then for Philly, they got rid of a distraction. They brought in Jonathan Simmons, 6'6", and if he can get back to that 35% shooting from three...
He was good at the Spurs, man.
Yeah, like if he can get back that three-point shot a little bit, which he seemed to have lost in Orlando, he's a really nice defender as well. So I think both teams did quite well in that trade.
Is that only a successful trade for the Magic if Markel Fultz becomes Markel Fultz?
Oh, absolutely. But then at the same time, it's what really did you give up?
Right.
Like, is that Oklahoma pick going to be something? If you look historically at what Orlando have drafted recently, they're not good at picking players in the draft. So that pick was probably going to be nothing.
I think it also brings in some playoff experience to the Sixers as well.
Jonathan Simmons
played, like, had that postseason at the Spurs where, I can't remember, I think it was when Kawhi was out and he kind of took over that small forward role and I think averaged like 16 points a game and looked like he was really dominating the ball quite well.
Did you just say Magic don't draft well? Didn't they draft Oladipo and...
Sorry. They draft, they just can't develop.
Yeah, when they do draft someone well, get out of here.
Yeah.
I think they drafted Shaq as well, didn't they?
What about you?
Ogun? I'm going to be a wanker and I'm going to say I like the Kristaps Dennis Smith Jr. trade.
It's the most fun.
Totally. Yeah. I kind of like it for both teams too because the Knicks have been stuck in mediocrity for such a long time that if this trade doesn't lead them to getting two max guys, it is what it is.
Yeah.
They're still hoping to get Zion or whomever. You know what? If they get a decent draft pick and one max guy, that's a win for them. For the Mavs, you got Luka and Kristaps together. That's fun.
Oh, that's
if Porzingis incredible. Stayed at New York, it would have created a kind of groundhog scenario. It would have felt like the same song over and over again. But while we're on trades, I'll bring up Sixers real quick, if that's okay.
Yeah.
I think Harris going to the Sixers, I don't think the Sixers plan on signing Butler and Harris as free agents at the end of the year. I think they'll keep one. So Harris has kind of created a buffer where if Butler, you know, becomes, I don't like using the word toxic, but a distraction again, or if he tries to play hardball, but I leave. We've got to do it because Harris, from all reports, is a good teammate, good in the locker room, and numbers. He's got them.
Mm.
And obviously you look at that Philly roster now and it'll depend on what Jimmy Butler brings you in the playoffs. But right now, how much are you willing to pay him, really? Like realistically, if you're the general manager, you've got Simmons, you're paying big money to Embiid. Tobias Harris is a do-it-all big guy who doesn't really cost you anything anywhere on the court. He's a good rebounder, good defender, great shooter. Like how much are you going to pay Jimmy Butler?
Like when you look at the team, is it a team that you think that big three... Yeah, we're definitely going to commit to that long term. I haven't seen that. I mean, we've seen them together for quite a while. Too.
I think that less now that Harris is there. I think he's more likely to stay than Butler. If only one of those two stay, I'd be surprised if it was Butler and not Harris.
So basically, the situation they're in is Butler and Harris are both going to be free agents at the end of the season. The Sixers are going to be expected to sign Ben Simmons to his max deal. And they're going to have to try and keep two dudes, one of whom we know will want a max deal in Butler. So I don't... They've said their intention is to keep all four of those dudes.
They have to say that at this point.
Right. But yeah, I don't know how viable that actually is.
It could definitely come up to JJ Redick, like how much he asked for. Because is he on the one-year deal?
He's on the one-year deal.
He's slowly going down.
Yeah, he's also 34. Yeah,
accommodate to a lot of the cap.
JJ Redick's also very good.
Yeah. Mm.
He's still crazy
good. He's putting up his best numbers, so... Mm.
But no, that's an interesting team. On paper, that starting lineup is awesome.
Mm.
Whether it actually is fruitful is a different story. They all get along is also a different story.
Is it concerning when you look at how good that starting five is, how weak they are when you get into the bench, though?
They're really thin.
Like Milwaukee and Toronto are both really deep. And Boston, everyone's spoken about all year, is arguably the deepest team in the East.
They just hate each other.
Yeah, if they could play together, that'd be great. Like Philly, when they turn to the bench, like there will be some serious minute structuring where you're playing Harrison Simmons.
That's it.
Yeah,
they're not going to have like five bench players.
Yeah,
they're going to mix and match and try and find some chemistry between two of their top five guys at different times of the game. I think.
Well, that's what they've been doing the entire time, anyway.
Exactly.
They split up Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid anyway. I just don't know if any of those bench dudes are actually going to step up. Like James Ennis,
he showed
glimpses in Houston, but I don't know. Jonathan Simmons is the same.
What about Bolden?
Don't fall short on TJ McConnell either.
TJ McConnell is the one dude who's actually reliable.
Yeah.
But you can't play him and Ben Simmons together. There's just a lot going on there that I don't know if it fits, and I don't know if it can fit within like before the playoffs start.
Are there still some buyout options going around?
Mellow.
I mean, what about, has Swaggy P played at all this year?
I don't know.
Played in Denver for a moment?
I mean, Philly don't, they need three.
I really don't think that locker room needs Swaggy P.
I mean, why not? It's already a basket case, right?
Just go crazy?
Yeah.
I don't know.
Mello?
So Mello, obviously linked to the Lakers. It would be interesting if he goes there. That would kind of complete that. I don't want to call it a shit show, but like it would complete that. Yeah. The Lakers made a bunch of small trades. So they traded Svi Mykhailiuk for Reggie Bullock. It's fine, I guess. And they trade Ivica Zubac for... I don't know who they traded him for.
Mike Muscala.
For Mike Muscala, yeah. And so
they also sent Michael Beasley, who's now
in China.
Yeah. Do we think that makes any difference for the Lakers?
No, I think it almost makes them worse.
Like Reggie Bullock is cool. good do next to LeBron, but does...
The thing about the Lakers is LeBron has done the whole best players surrounded by not that great player thing in the past.
Yeah.
The difference is he's had those not great players suit the type of basketball he needs to play. So he's had average ballers but shooters around him. The Lakers are a bunch of like pretty average players that also don't really fit the way he needs to play winning basketball. Today against the Pelicans, they were putting up points, but they could not stop New Orleans. Like, they just could not defend. Like, Lonzo Ball, the injury has, I don't know, I think it's had more of an impact than like people realize. Yeah. That on the defensive end, at least. Like,
oh, huge.
Lonzo's one of the best defensive point guards in the league.
Big time.
Pelicans without Anthony Davis today could not be stopped. And that's a problem. And when it comes down to postseason, even though LeBron's saying, after All-Star break, I'm lifting my level to play off LeBron. Well, okay, yeah, you beat the Rockets, but then you got absolutely like blown out by the Pelicans. So I don't know if the Lakers are even going to get to the postseason. But
right there. If LeBron James, who you ask 100 people, the majority is going to say he's still the best player in the universe, right? When was the last time the best player in the NBA did not make the playoffs?
It's a good question.
Oh, you got it. You
probably say early Jordan years.
But no, he wasn't the best player in the comp then. You had Larry and Magic, right?
Yeah. True.
You got to go all the way back to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar, Milwaukee Bucks, 73-75. That's why he went to the Lakers. Like, it doesn't happen. The best player always makes the finals. It's only five players on the court, right? Like, the best player is meant to have enough pull to drag a team at least to eighth. Right.
Yeah, look, this has all the looks of that the Kobe Achilles year, where the Lakers were really flirting with that eighth seed. They probably weren't going to make it, and then Kobe went to that next level, obviously got injured in one of the last games against the Warriors. It has all the looks of that game where LeBron's going to carry this team and then just get fatigued and just completely drop off come the playoffs. It's going to be weird. So right now, let's actually go into that, this Western Conference playoff push. So right now, the Lakers are the 10th seed, right?
Yeah.
They're 3.5 games behind the 8th seed, which are the Clippers. Steve Ballmer came out, said the Clippers actually want to make the playoffs, despite them trading for young guys and picks.
Mm-hmm.
They still want to make the playoffs, sure. I get that they want a presence there, and then obviously they want to recruit some big guys.
It's because they know if they make it, there's a chance Lakers don't, and they flip and hate the Lakers.
Right, and
flip and hate those guys.
Legitimately, though, think of that selling point as well of LeBron trying to pitch the Lakers to some guys, to some of these big free agents, saying, hey, oh, we can't make the playoffs, though.
You're not even the best Clippers team in the house. Yeah,
right. Yeah. So I get that. That's a fun little mental game that Steve Ballmer's playing. But do we think the Lakers are going to make the playoffs?
They're three and a half games out of the pace right now.
Everything we've ever known says the Lakers have to get this all together and LeBron's going to pull them out and they're going to get into that eighth seed. But my eyes tell me different. Like, what I've watched so far this season tells me that the Sacramento Kings are a very legitimate basketball team.
So much fun.
That play great basketball. They're young dudes. They're not going to get tired over the course of, like, the season and whatnot. They've gone all in on making the playoffs technically with the trade for Harrison Barnes. I'm still not sure if that actually makes them a better basketball team.
I love it.
I'm not a huge Harrison Barnes fan. They have committed to trying to get there. If anything, Doc Rivers this year and in the past has proven to be a better coach with less talent, if anything. Like, the more stars he has, the more he seems to struggle. He knows how to motivate a bunch of dudes that want to work hard and just play basketball the right way. And that's what they're doing in LA with the Clippers right now. So, like, everything we've ever known says, like, Lakers are squeezing in. But, like, right now my brain and logic is just going, like, no, like, why would they?
Because one half of your brain says you don't bet against LeBron, right? But the other half, you look at the Kings and you're like, up and down that roster, there are a lot more hungrier basketball players on that team. They just look heaps more keen than those Lakers players.
And they click. They play good basketball. The Lakers don't play good basketball.
But gun to your head.
You say LeBron.
You say LeBron.
That's the problem.
He's still LeBron.
The other thing with the Kings is they have absolutely no desire to not be in the lottery. They don't have a pick. It's not like they're like, oh, well, if we miss out, like, we can still be in the lottery. We still get a good, like, we still have the chance of getting a good pick. They don't have their pick. They may as well make a run for the playoffs and prove, or silence everyone, including Ted.
Yeah.
Mm. It's going to be really interesting coming down. It's going to be really interesting coming into like the final five games of the year. Because I've got it just here. Like the Lakers, in the final five games, the Lakers are playing OKC, Golden State, the Clippers, Utah, and Portland.
That's a tough run to end the Lakers?
That's the Lakers. And the Kings have Houston, Cleveland, Utah, New Orleans, and Portland.
Okay.
Yeah. That's not even that. Like I give them,
but they got Portland on the back to back after the Lakers game, which is kind of handy.
Yeah, okay.
That'll give it a little easier. But the Clippers have the easiest run. It's kind of unfair, really. Atlanta, Denver, Washington, Cleveland, and Dallas.
Okay,
yeah. So I feel like the Clippers are sweet.
So let's say, for the sake of argument, so you know, most of this West, it's not locked, but you're going to assume that 1-7, which is Golden State down to the Spurs.
Yeah,
we're going to assume that they're going to find their way, and everyone's going to get through there. So it's just that 8th seed, which is between the Clippers, who currently have it, the Kings, who are 1.5 games behind them, and then the Lakers, who are 2 games behind that.
The Battle of California.
Are you that sure
California.
On the Spurs, though? Are you that sure on the Spurs?
I'm pretty sure on the Spurs.
Can you bet against Greg Popovich? But like,
no, but they compete every night.
And they've just got enough talent anyway.
They've also been better lately. Mm. They started really badly. So let's say those three teams, Clippers, Kings, Lakers, all the California teams. Who would you rather played the Warriors from an aesthetic point of view?
Yeah.
The answer is not the Clippers. So Kings or
the Kings?
Kings or Lakers? Kings. Do you want to see LeBron and the Warriors play in the first round?
That's the best spectacle.
Is that
there
fun?
It is.
In LeBron. The first round, though.
Oh, but that's the only round he's going to get in.
It's either first round or nothing.
Yeah exactly. Yeah,
so do you want that final, like quote unquote finals?
You have to. And then it also adds to the narrative for the next season as well. You know, when Lakers hopefully land some free agents and improve, because you assume Warriors are going to win, but you need to see LeBron versus
the NBA
versus the Warriors.
The NBA wants LeBron and the Lakers versus Golden State Warriors. NBA fans, I don't know. Like I watching that fourth installment of Golden State Sacramento the other day. Now Golden State swept the series 4-0, but every single game was close, and every single game was like
high scoring.
Yeah. It's so fun. Draymond Green post game the other day said that Sacramento are the fastest team he's played against, and that they're a bunch of dudes that are going to be really good in the future. And Draymond Green doesn't like just hand out respect like that every day. So I think that would probably be more enjoyable than watching Golden State sweep the Lakers, like inevitably sweep the Lakers, but everyone knows like Lakers Warriors would do bigger ratings.
Yeah.
And
I think the Warriors Kings would be a 4 or 5 game series, but it would be an electrifying 4 or 5 game series.
Yeah, but if the Kings play the Warriors, it means LeBron's not in the playoffs. And I just like seeing LeBron.
Yeah, no, skip to 7th, I guess.
I mean, look, if we have Warriors Lakers, I guess after that series, LeBron has just an easier door to Kevin Durant. He just goes into the next room and just tries to recruit him. Klay Thompson as well. He's like, hi guys.
Just wander in.
KD.
While we're talking about LeBron failing, can I add just a little curveball question?
Hit it.
How many rings does LeBron win if he never goes to the Heat?
Zero.
Boom. Then you're comparing him to Reggie Miller and not Michael Jordan.
Oh, he stood up. That. Ted stood up.
Ted stood up. Well, I mean, he had one in Cleveland.
Yeah, but that's because he left.
Kyrie was there.
Because Cleveland was really
Kyrie's
bad.
Not in Cleveland.
Cleveland was bad. They got Kyrie.
They got Wiggins, and then they traded.
You're saying he never gets one.
I'm saying that's a huge possibility.
This is a very good point. Yeah.
No, there's no Kyrie. There's no Kyrie in Cleveland. If
there's no Kevin Love in Cleveland.
Man. Man, oh man.
Mm. Yeah, but there's someone else in Cleveland.
Or J.R. Smith.
Someone else comes to play LeBron in Cleveland.
Yeah. Okay, but counterpoint, LeBron did go to Miami.
Yeah.
As in, like, you can't just, like how many rings does Kobe have if he's not born? Like, can't just say
zero.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah. It's just
no, no, totally,
I'm just waiting for like a bunch of Kobe fans to be like, no, he'd still have like four. He's got that Mamba mentality.
All right, just before we move on again, I've got another fun question that I just thought of then. 2006-07 Cavs with LeBron or current Lakers? Who are you taking a 7 game series?
Oh, current Lakers. Was that like Anthony Parker and, jeez, who was on that?
Like Booby Gibson.
Gibson.
Sidrunas Iglauskas.
You take this Lakers.
Do you mean All-Stars Sidrunas Iglauskas?
Yeah,
All-Star.
Drew
come on,
Gooden
bro.
Was on Mo that Williams. Team, I'm pretty sure.
All-Star Mo Williams. Bro, come on.
Oh.
But like, that's a team that he took all the way to the finals. Yes, it was in the East, but like he didn't just... we're not talking about trying to scrape into the eight seed there.
Yeah, and it was a young LeBron.
It's arguably saying that there's more talent on this Lakers.
Can I just like, I want to follow that up with like, it might be like some Lakers apology here, but like Lonzo Ball is good. Kyle Kuzma has dropped near 50-point games. Brandon Ingram is still a dude with a bunch of potential, and he's shown some of it. He played a good game today. They're three good players next to LeBron.
But how'd they go last
JaVale
year
McGee
without LeBron?
Can catch balls. And then you got Lance Stevenson, who does his thing sometimes.
Plays guitars and dance.
Right. There are some pieces.
Those good pieces you just listed, and I agree with you, those are good players.
Yeah.
Do any of them shoot 40% or better from three?
No.
They're the wrong players. Yeah. They're the wrong good players.
Yeah. As in the good players, the players that should be next to him are
Williams,
D'Angelo Russell. And
and those players mentioned are below 500, and LeBron James has played in that team, 30-odd games this year?
Yeah.
Enough that they shouldn't be below 500.
Yeah, yeah.
The point is, like, you're right. The Lakers have enough talent as just any team, any random team, to make the top eight. The problem is this current version of LeBron needs a bunch of shooters around him, and they don't have that. They just don't.
So are we blaming the general manager for putting this team together? Are we blaming Luke Walton for putting any
Luke's
kind of
victim.
Structure into this game? Or are we blaming LeBron for just not being able to carry these guys to the next step?
I think it depends on like how much say LeBron had in the offseason. Because remember when we sat around here and went like, okay, we have no idea what the Lakers are doing with Rondo and Beasley and Lance, but like LeBron, I guess he'll make it work. Well, like we're sitting here now and we're like, all right, he hasn't made it work so far.
Yeah.
Because basketball sense suggested it wasn't going to work.
Mm.
And it just hasn't.
Can I counterpoint? When LeBron got injured, they were the fourth seed?
Sure.
Yeah.
I know it was early, but it wasn't not working. But it was LeBroning.
Yeah, and they just flogged the Warriors as well.
It was it was LeBroning. Like, it was doing as well as LeBron can carry a team.
Yeah,
like, if he didn't get injured, I'm sure they would be a lock for the playoffs.
No, so they wouldn't be a lock.
Depends if he tried to trade players
in the trade period, though.
Because that's what also has derailed them. They had one of the best defensive teams in the NBA before Lonzo went down.
That's the thing. If you want to talk about what's made a difference, like LeBron went down and then Lonzo went down. LeBron's come back. They're still not winning. Yeah. So how important is Lonzo to that?
I'm just saying, like, LeBron was out for, 15-plus games?
Yeah.
I mean, they had a good winning record at that point. Right now they're on 29 wins. You don't think out of those 15 games, if you played them, they would have won 7 of them?
They're 4-6.
If they won
six.
7 of those games, they'd be tied with the Trailblazers.
That's all I'm saying. They were just more involved in the logjam around the middle. I don't think that would have been.
They're 4-6 over their last 10, and LeBron's been back for around 10 games now, right?
Yeah, do we buy the thing that LeBron is overweight? He kind of looks
No.
Yeah, I saw that photo. You're talking that Insta photo where he was trying to show off and was like, don't show off.
The dude that spends millions of dollars on his body every year, I'm going to assume that he's in the shape he wants to be in.
He likes wine. He's just bulking up.
He likes wine, though.
Maybe this is the process. Maybe this is the process of LeBron moving into that four-man who plays like a typical.
Do we see fat
forward.
LeBron before his career is over?
If he waits for his son to play,
not a chance.
Oh, God. Okay, so that's the West. That'll be fun to track because there's less than 20 games to go, right?
No, there's
just
there's
around 20?
20-ish.
20-ish games to go.
20 to 25.
These are interesting because these are effectively must-wins for most teams if they want to make the playoffs, which is really fun.
Sure.
And so let's go from that and go towards another end of season-y sort of thing, which are awards. Mm. Now, we don't want to predict awards because, again, we're 20 games out and that's very difficult to do. But I think we were at a point right now where we can create categories, right? We can put...
I think the NBA has done that for us.
Yeah, the best player on each team.
So
a
player
the best
who's gotten player. Lots better. One would say he's improved. Okay, no. So we can put together top three or top fives for these respective categories.
Already created categories? Or are these the ones that we're going to...
We're not going to, like, best dressed or something? What are you
well,
doing?
I don't know.
Oh, Russ.
Just, oh, clearly.
Just Russ. Going on what you said.
Yeah.
I mean, considering they play 3 to 4 games a week, 20 games isn't that much. You know, so right. it's good to start having these conversations.
Yeah.
Okay. So look, the NBA has been kind enough to award us with categories. We're going to choose our top three, top five, who we think is in the running for these awards, okay?
And make a case.
This is the most convoluted intro to just like the,
Alvin, can you end not, of your can you awards. Not lash out at Guardy again, please?
Yeah. By the way, yeah. guys, I was just punched.
He deserved it. The MVP. MVP is interesting because I don't think it's set. And I don't know if we've been at this point in the season where it's like very clearly not set. And it's not even between two dudes, I think. I think there are three, maybe four guys, potentially five, if you're going to be a little bit generous, dudes who could walk away with this award. Who is... Okay, if I'm going to say some dudes right now,
all right,
will you guys tell me if they should not be in this list? So, Giannis...
Yes, obviously.
Giannis is in there. Obviously, best team in the league, best player on the best team.
Yeah.
Yes.
James Harden.
No.
He should be in the chat. But
no. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, he's in there. He's in the chat. He is.
We have a hard yes.
He's in the chat. He's averaging 36 points a game.
And his team beat the Golden State Warriors today, looking the happiest they ever have because they were actually passing the ball around.
So
those
happy.
Players that he can't trust to lean on during a game.
Yeah.
Went into Golden State and dropped, what, 118 points on them, looking the best they have all year.
Literally the hardest.
Kenneth Faried at 20 and 10. Chris Paul had like 23 and 17 assists. Eric Gordon dropped 25. PJ Tucker had one of his best games of the year. I'm so sick of the James Harden.
Yeah, so Harden's like, I've got to do it. I've got to take up all this. He's taken, was it 17 threes a game?
I don't know, something like 13. That. But these are the same dudes that you took to last year's Western Conference Final, where the narrative was not that James Harden had no help. He decided he had no help. Chris Paul came back to help, and he was like, nah, I still don't need no help, but I'm forced to do this. And now, yeah, he's averaging 36.5 points a game. He's on this ridiculous streak, but I'm so over it.
Guardy's going ghetto. Unleashed.
Yeah. Do we, Harrison, do you agree?
Look, I don't agree. I think that's too harsh. See, I'm not giving him the MVP, but to take him out of a top five conversation of
he's
the
in
MVP
the chat.
Is
yeah,
absolutely
I think my ridiculous. Point, my point, my larger point is that there actually aren't five people involved. There's two.
Okay,
see,
wait.
The way,
so
sorry, can I just throw this one in there? The way I look at it is that the people that vote for MVP, the media, right? And who have the media been paying most of their attention to across the news cycle this year? But it was James Harden's streak for that entire month that he was doing.
I feel like the media's enlightened enough to differentiate between, you know, an interesting streak that gets numbers.
But the league's built on narratives and MVP's built on narratives as well.
But the media was talking about it, but a lot of the chat was, if Kevin Durant was in this position, if Steph Curry was in this position, those players could also do it. They weren't doing, oh my God, look at this record. They were like, it's a bit of a faux record. You know, they weren't saying, oh, James Harden, lock it up.
Houston are in the fifth seed. How does he win MVP?
He also did it without his second All-Star for most of that middle bit there, without Chris Paul. That's the way you got to look at it as well.
Right. Did what?
Giannis had Chris Middleton. He held this team to the fifth seed.
He helped them to the fifth seed. If they were in first on Harden's back, then it would be shut the gate. Yeah, but he helped them to that, mediocrity.
Yeah, but what would, you know? would Giannis doing the same thing if he didn't have Chris Middleton?
Giannis is Giannis.
Yeah, would he held him to the first seed as well, you think?
Yeah, so I think Giannis has to be number one.
Like, yeah.
Giannis absolutely has to be number one.
It's not a question,
He's on track to go like 30 and 12 potentially at the end of the year.
I like Paul George.
Paul George.
He's the only other viable candidate. Yeah,
there's a chance he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, right?
Yeah, but so could Giannis.
Okay, but there's a chance he's going to win Defensive Player of the Year, and he's one of the best offensive players as well. He's just getting it done. Easily top three in defense, right? Probably the best two-way player this year, him or Kawhi or Giannis. 45% from the field, 40.5 from three, which smashes Harden.
He's on track to make 300-plus three-pointers too, which I think only one other person has done, which is Steph.
Stephen. eight rebounds. I mean, look, okay, Harden, great offense. Last I checked, defense is literally half of the game, right? We need to start putting more weight in that. How can someone be in the conversation for top three in both offense and defense and not be a serious contender for the MVP?
You also said that, but Giannis is leading the league in defensive rating and only a click behind Paul George.
Okay, but he also plays in the best defensive team in the NBA as well.
But
because of him?
He's the anchor of the best defense.
Okay, but no team in the NBA is better at forcing three-point shots into two-point mid-range shots, right? Which is why they're successful against Houston, which is why they... almost swore, while they put the torch to Golden State earlier in the year. They get out, they push, they're long. Mm.
But Ted, so one thing about that is that chasing people off the three-point line is what every team tries to do.
They're the best at it, though.
Yeah, you don't. But what makes them the best at that is they have a guy who's 7 foot, 7'3" wingspan or whatever his wingspan is, who's athletic enough to get out and close out quickly. Bledsoe is incredibly athletic. Middleton is long and athletic.
They're all tall and long. That's what I'm saying.
But yeah, Giannis is the anchor of this defense, which is the best defense in the league. He's averaging 1.5 blocks, 1.4 steals, and 10.3 defensive rebounds. So he's finishing the defensive possession, not just locking players down.
Yeah.
I think if you're going to use the argument that Paul George should get MVP because he's a great defender as well, Giannis is an incredible defender.
17% from three, though, in 2019 isn't a great look.
And doing what he's doing without the three.
Yeah, he's scoring 27 points again.
Exactly.
Dynamite. Yeah.
But that for me, that's the conversation.
Yeah.
Arguably more impressive than all those numbers as well for Paul George is the fact that he's convinced Russell Westbrook to like hand over the reins of the offense. Yeah. Like that's a dude that wouldn't even do it
that's
with
so
like
hard
KD.
To do.
Yeah. Hats off to Westbrook for that as well.
Well, I mean, you could only ignore the numbers for so long before he had to.
You say that, but Kevin Durant had his best career season next to Russell Westbrook in Oklahoma.
He'd argue that his best season was 21 rings.
You can even get through that sentence.
Statistically, that MVP season, he was outrageous. I think like Russ was deferring then, and then I think Russ got a little bit full of himself and chasing like the triple double narrative, and he's back there now. So that's two players now who've had their best career season next to Russell Westbrook. I think he's a selfish.
Is this Russell Westbrook sneakily great teammate? Is that what this is?
Yes.
This whole time.
I think his media persona is what rubs people the wrong way. That's why there's so much vitriol around him as well. It's not just the way he plays, it's the way he presents. And people.
So is that Russ you're talking about?
Yeah.
I love it. I love that. I think he does it better than KD does as well. KD does that.
KD's like, a bit of a dick about it.
You were ranting about that today, Ted, how crap KD is with his interviews.
Oh, he's got issues. Mate, when that one issues. where he was telling the media to grow up, I was like, mate, a bit rich, my guy. You grow up, KD. You are a child.
The KD problem is that he's now doing this thing where he's like, I don't care, but everyone knows he cares. So like it just kind of seems fake.
Yeah, yeah. No, he needs a weekend out in the desert.
We got super distracted then. Ogun, what was that list?
Yeah, what were we talking about again?
So we actually covered most things on that list.
Yeah.
Well, so Giannis is obviously toward the top, if not the top. Paul George is also toward the top. Mm-hmm. James Harden, I guess, is up there. Boom. But I think we agree that he's not in the Giannis PG tier. If I throw some names out, just say yes or no if they're in the conversation at all. Steph.
Yes.
I say no because
I think
you hate Steph.
No, I don't hate Steph. I just think he's...
You literally just said Steph Curry.
Again? Guys. I think he's a long way behind Giannis. So, like, I don't think these guys are in the conversation anymore. I think they're just there to round out a five.
I think because the next name you're going to say is probably Kevin Durant, and I think it's hard for them to win it when they're on the same team, isn't it? Or is it Kawhi Leonard? It's but I think Kevin Durant's kind of in the conversation as well.
So Kevin Durant is in the conversation, like, statistically, I get that. Yeah, but Kawhi is a weird one because you don't want to give it to someone who doesn't play the second game of back-to-backs.
Yeah. Raptors have only lost three games without Kawhi this year.
Yeah. Right. There's also the case for Steph is obviously, considering how well he's playing almost as well as his, you know, quote-unquote historic season. There's also the whole point where they were not good when he wasn't there. Mm. And then when he got there, they're back to being amazing. So it's like, he's the thing that's holding them together.
The key word in MVP is value, yeah.
Right. He's their happiness, player. Man.
Right. So he brings this really talented team together. The other name that I wanted to bring up was Nikola Jokic.
Oof.
Who the Nuggets are 40-18, right? So they're the third best team in the NBA.
The fact that he looks like he's made out of Play-Doh, It doesn't help him. You know what I mean? He's not a sexy pick.
Did you
in
see the
any,
photo?
Any way that, that word.
Did you see the photo they put up of him when he was 13 the other day? Huh? Oh, it's hilarious. You're like, how did this kid turn into a basketball player?
Same with Marc Gasol, though. Marc Gasol was a little fat kid.
Yeah. Well, fun fact. Zion, think how big Jokic is. Yeah. Zion Williamson, 13 kilos heavier than him.
Damn.
And can jump from the line.
I love Jokic.
Yeah. Jokic is a dude who's in the conversation as much as like Kawhi is in the conversation.
Well, you, no, he
I think as much
be.
As James Harden's
be.
In the conversation
should
too, to be honest.
He's not because of what happens in Denver. Because up until this season, Jokic had never played like a dude trying to get MVP. He has nights where he's like, all right, I'll put up like 9 points, but I'll also put up like 15 boards and like 8 assists sort of thing. Jokic is undoubtedly MVP talent, but whether he's that MVP character and that dude that carries a narrative through a season, that's another question. There's a reason he's not part of the discussion, and that's because I don't necessarily know if he cares or wants to be or is at a point yet where people are willing to put him in that.
Or where he has to, just because the Nuggets, to play well, he doesn't have to play like an MVP. He has to play like his best person, right? As in, I'm trying to make that.
He's kind of frustrating to watch because, like, we've all seen how talented he is and we've all seen him throw down like a ridiculous 30, 15, and 10 triple double. And then, as Gardy was saying, then he has nights where he kind of doesn't look interested in scoring. And he's just like, no, you know what? I'm going to be the ball handler in a pick and roll and stuff like that, where you're like, he's not doing what he could be doing.
I think he's just
every
having fun.
Night.
We can't word this. We're going crazy. He does everything he needs to lead his team to a win on certain nights, and those things aren't necessarily what we'd call "quote unquote" MVP numbers.
What if the Nuggets win the West? Does that narrative change? Do his odds come down?
I still think Giannis's role in winning the East will be bigger than Jokic's role.
They're a game and a half behind the Warriors.
No,
it's a real possibility they win the West.
But I'm saying even if Bucks come first, Nuggets come first, I still don't know how you give it to anyone other than Giannis. The only person I can see becoming part of like a legitimate conversation with Giannis is if OKC finished second.
And Paul George continues playing at the level he is.
Because
he's playing at like this explosive level.
Sure. And also when like Andre Robertson went down at the start of the year, and the Thunder started awfully this year as well. Everyone was like talking about, I don't know, where the Thunder would finish. I don't think anyone would have thought they would be second or third when Robertson went down. So
when they started 0-5 as well.
Yeah.
And they were like, oh, okay, so they're done. Good call, us.
Yeah. All right. Pelicans were the championship team, yeah.
So they're the guys who are in the MVP conversation. Man, that got heated for a bit. That got fun.
I know, right?
Yeah. All right, I'm sure Coach of the Year will be just as exciting. Coach of the Year. Correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it's got to be between guys like Bud in Milwaukee, Nick Nurse in Toronto. I guess Nate McMillan in Indiana could have a shout just because of what he's been doing
and
without
the
talent.
Still winning without Victor Oladipo.
Right. Yeah. And then I think Steve Kerr's stock has dropped a lot.
Yeah.
I think you can put Mike Malone in there as well. Yeah. The Nuggets.
I'll add a name, Kenny Atkinson. He's got the Brooklyn Nets in the sixth seed. Yeah. The other thing, not to discredit what Bud has done, but I've made this point in the past. Going from Jason Kidd to literally anyone that I feel like would have been an upgrade. Because as I've said in the past, the entire NBA world was like, hey, what the Bucks should do is surround Giannis with shooters. And then Bud came in. And the only person that disagreed was seemingly Jason Kidd. And then Bud came in, they started doing that, and they started winning basketball games. I know it's not that simple, and he obviously does deserve to be in the conversation. But there's, I feel like someone like Kenny Atkinson, looking at his roster and what he's done with the Nets, who are in the sixth seed. I don't know.
There's also obviously like, it wasn't Bud who created that roster. It was John Horst.
Yeah.
But there's also the weird question of how do you separate the MVP from the coach? So, for example, in the NBL, Andrew Bogut, MVP, Andrew Gaze, still not a great coach.
Sure.
So it's like, did they win more games? Why did they win more games?
Well, was it
because of Bud, or was it because of Giannis, or because of both? Like, how do you weigh that up?
I think my nomination kind of answers that. Like, I'll go Nick Nurse because of how well he's coached in the absence of Kyle Lowry and Kawhi Leonard.
Yeah. So he's adjusted so well.
Yeah, like their winning percentage doesn't change. It doesn't matter what the lineup is. And considering he's a first year coach, I know he's been in the system for a long time.
Still, first year head coaches. That's a big jump.
Yeah. And
but like I said before, like it's also the first year head coach coming off the other coach of the year that already built a team that, you know.
Yeah, but that team isn't there from night to night. No, so he's got to do it on the fly, and he does it successfully without much fuss. And I just like the way he's always deflecting. Like he's the first person to say, you know, he inherited a Ferrari. Mm. You know?
Yeah.
So I like the cut of his jib, and like how well he's doing.
Seems like a genuine human being.
Yeah. Like, well, Lennon's missed a lot of games this year. If he's not in the chat for MVP, it's because of how many games he's missed. And it has not affected Nick Nurse in the Raptors issue.
Yeah, I agree with that.
The point I'd make about Budenholzer, though, is as you were talking about during the MVP conversation, Giannis is still under 20% for threes.
Yeah.
And so Giannis was really good at dunking and being athletic last season as well, and the Bucks weren't winning as many games because they weren't spacing the floor the way they are this season. Obviously, Giannis is improving as a basketball player and has improved, but the system that he's in this season has helped him become this MVP candidate.
I think one other...
He's created a good environment for Giannis. Mm.
Just the right system, yeah.
And one thing with Bud as well is generally if you have a shooting team, like a team full of shooters, you're not expecting them to be great defensively, just like historically speaking, shoot a shoot. And like the Bucks are really breaking that mold. Like all of their whole starting, the whole team is quite strong defensively.
Roster is ridiculous. Yeah. And it had been for years. As you said, like... Bud kind of inherited it, but yeah, he's the first coach they've had that just puts them in the right
spot. It makes so much sense that the Bucks are first. Like, they're awesome at three and scoring in the paint.
And really good at defense, you know. They're really good at basketball all around.
The Bucks, man.
Can I make a weird Nick Nurse point? Like, Dwayne Casey won it last season.
How did that work out?
Yeah, but he won Coach of the Year last season. They were the best team, you know, like they had the best record in the East. Nick Nurse takes over. The team remains good. They've just swapped out their star. Like, is it weird that he would be up for it considering the call was really good? Is this like...
Do you think he doesn't want it?
Is Serge Ibaka like the MVP?
Oh, Serge has played... Bang. This is like Serge's best year in what, three or four seasons?
Mm. I just don't know if that's
next to Russell Westbrook.
I just don't know if that's ever happened. Like,
sorry, Gotti.
Two coaches back to back on the same team, with the same core, winning Coach of the Year.
It's so rare that a coach will win Coach of the Year, then get sacked. It's not the first time it happened.
Yeah, sorry, George.
What's the angry Carl. Borderline racist looking dude? That's
George
him.
Carl. Yeah.
Isn't not just racist looking. He said some weird shit, huh? he wrote a book, and now we've never heard of him again.
Yeah.
Oh, he named his kid Kobe with a C. Nuh-uh.
Yeah,
that's a weird dude.
I don't see.
Yeah,
I don't see how you give Nick Nurse Coach of the Year if he finishes behind the Bucks,
right?
Like, I just don't see that. Or if the Denver Nuggets finish in second, because it's like both those teams are like way up from their previous seasons. So I don't know.
All right, so
simple as that.
Rookie of the year.
Wait, sorry. Don't worry.
Rookie of the year is Luca. Did you want to say your point? Or?
I wanted to give Mike Malone a little shout out because he's got a tasty jump shot. But that was it.
He had a fun little jumper, Jamal Murray. Yeah. So Luca's rookie of the year.
I wrote next question.
Sixth man of the year.
Always Lou Williams.
Yeah, it's just Lou Williams. Just give him the award. Name the award after him. Yeah.
I've got Guardy's spirit animal, Spencer Dinwiddie.
Ooh.
Guardy had a little...
No. I was waiting for that.
I mean, 17.2 points on a really good team, and considering, you know, he's also in the chat for most improved. Two seasons ago, he's only shooting, only scoring 7.3 points a game. Last year, 12.6. So to jump up to 17 again in a winning system, and he hasn't just put up empty numbers. He's won games for Brooklyn number of times this season. So it's why I'd go someone like Spencer over, you know.
Is this injury that he's having right now going to hurt his case?
That's the problem. That's the problem.
The injury and like he has started at times this year could affect.
Yeah, where do they gauge that?
Lou Williams starts sometimes.
Where do they gauge how many games you have to start?
I don't know if there's a specific number. I think it's just based on like feel.
Yeah.
Just you'd be like, has he started
enough? He's a six man.
Like, did he start a lot of games? Yeah,
is JJ eligible?
Ooh,
JJ Redick.
No, he started.
He started way too. He started most games.
False was the starting. It was starting at the start of the year. Wow, that feels like 3 years.
I thought I had that thought the other day, and then it just went from my memory completely because it was disgusting. How weird was that?
So you know how when you brought up Sixth Man of the Year, everyone was like Lou Williams, like that's the obvious one, right? So Lou Williams has a teammate on the Clippers. So Lou's averaging around 19 points a game and around 5 assists a game.
I think we're going to wrap it up now. No?
Lou Williams' teammate, Montrezl Harrell,
the other spirit,
is averaging 16.1 points per game, 6.6 rebounds per game on 62.5% shooting in 26 minutes.
That's such a good year.
That is
really good year.
Ridiculous. And I'll bring it back to something. I won't bring it back. I'll bring it forward because we're probably going to speak about this man in most improved player, Pascal Siakam, man who everyone says is having great season. Mm. Yeah. Potentially wrapped as his second best player.
I like Angry Guardian.
It's fun. It's come
he's
slightly around.
He's averaging 16.2 points per game, so 0.1 more than Montrez, 6.9 rebounds, 0.3 more than Montrez, but in 5 more minutes, right? So Montrezl Harrell is doing this off the bench on a team that's in the playoffs, a team that's not very talented. My man is the Sixth Man of the Year.
it's a good case.
It's a
very good case.
Yeah, you got me.
When I said Lou Williams, it was more just like it's just a thing now. He's just like he seems to be becoming what Jamal Crawford was for years, where it's just like just Lou.
can I throw another name out there potentially? Derrick Rose.
Mm.
Yeah.
You can throw it out and we can put it right back in there. Get back in there, Derrick.
As in, like, for basketball reasons, he's a potential Sixth Man of the Year.
Sure.
For other reasons, no thank you.
Still need the dictionary.
Can we cross the Wolves off the list of teams that could make the playoffs?
I thought we did that months ago.
it's just that they're, you know,
they're a game
behind the Lakers.
Yeah. As in, like, it's literally a Wolves win and a Lakers loss means that they're the same. But I think
it's more of an indictment on the Lakers, though. I think.
It's more just like we just don't want them to be in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Because out of all those scenarios, who wants Wolves Warriors?
I don't want to see Karl Anthony Towns run around being scared again. I don't need that.
On the other hand, who on the Warriors is going to stop Karl Towns, eh? The answer is that everyone. Oracle will stop him.
Here's an interesting stat, though, on the person that would try to stop him, DeMarcus Cousins. Since his return, he's made 60 field goals. He's committed 49 personal fouls.
That's fun, though.
I think I saw it today. He had 1 point and 3 fouls in 7 minutes.
He's nearly committed as many fouls as he has made field goals.
Whereas Kawhi Leonard has more steals than fouls.
There you go.
Damn you, Kawhi. Damn you, Kawhi.
Yeah.
So good.
All right, so that's six man, kind of up in the air. Montrez has a good case. Lou Williams, I assume, was just on the ballot when they printed it.
Mm.
Most improved player. We spoke about Pascal Siakam. Obviously, there's a lot of chat around him.
I've been on Buddy Hill's court all year. I really like him.
Buddy Hill, De'Aaron Fox, both, I think, in the same camp.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Buddy had doubts whether he'd be like a legit NBA player, like someone you can turn to and be like, he's going to be here in 10 years' time.
Yeah.
He had that chat was there 18 months ago. Mm. Averaging 13 points last year. How do you like 20.5? How's that for a jump? I like
it's
that.
It's shooting the ball.
That's almost 7 points.
A crazy clip.
I like it.
on a team that's exciting and that people want to watch, he's one of their linchpins. You know, on a team that's on the up and up, he's someone that you want to watch. He's part of the reason why you tune into the Kings this year. I know this is a bit rich considering I said they'd fall into the river.
Yeah.
But the reason why I'm glad they're dry is because of Buddy Hill.
Hey. I like that.
All right, I'm going to make the case for someone. And I know, Olgan, you've already shut me down this week on this one, but I think the people need to know. 2017 Paul George, 21.9 points.
Yeah.
2018, 28.9.
Okay.
Increased by 7 points in a year. Rebounds 5.7 to 8. 2.5. Assists 3.3 to 4.2. A little bit of an increase, but one a game.
Sure.
Steals have gone from 2 to 2.3, and he's shooting He's gone from 43% to 45.5% from the field. That, like, by definition, that is an insane improvement.
It's a very improved player.
But yeah. Do you know what the assumption is with this most improved award? Mm. Is that the player wants it. Paul George does not want to be called the most improved player because it's kind of like being given like a participation trophy because he's like, no, I was a superstar. I'm still a superstar. I was always an MVP candidate. He doesn't want it. No one ever likes winning most improved player because there's a general assumption.
Unless you're like second year.
Yeah, I got an award in my AFL team once called the most determined. I was like, what is that?
See, no one liked Tom when they gave him that award.
Yeah, it's like you're just getting an award now.
Paul
made one
George
up just for
does
you.
Not want
you
that
should
award.
Have burnt that trophy and never
started. I don't think I have
it. What are you doing, dude?
We're not going to let that go.
Also, as people that know Tom, there's no way he would.
Yes. Yeah. I think it's the most apathetic. It'd be a bad name for a trophy. But.
My argument against the Paul George argument is going from superstar to MVP candidate isn't that big a leap.
Yeah,
I feel like it's a bigger leap to go from a questionable NBA player to legitimate NBA player, borderline star.
That's
my De'Aaron Fox, yeah. Buddy Hield, Pascal Siakam.
Absolutely. But if you're just talking about
straight up numbers,
that's an insane improvement.
He's a very improved player. Yeah. Right? I don't think he's the most improved player.
Mm. When Pascal Siakam is dropping 40-point games now, like you're just thinking, like, who was this guy last year or year before?
Right.
Yeah. Pascal was averaging 7.3 points a game last year on like a 20 minutes a game sort of thing. Mm. So his minutes have gone up and his production's gone up. And yeah, he's kind of, his role has become, like, he's a serious star on that Raptors team. The other person that I guess will get attention, I don't know whether it actually makes sense from a basketball standpoint, is Zach LaVine. I mean, he's averaging 23 points a game. Yeah. He's one of the best scorers in the NBA. His team sucks, though.
Yeah. Yeah.
And he doesn't really contribute to any wins, but I mean, he was averaging 15 points a game last year, so he's made that like point leap, which you
I'm happy
need
for him,
to make.
Though, because we didn't know how he'd come back.
Yeah. So like he's been doing well.
And he dropped 42 today.
Yeah.
That ain't bad.
We're talking about a guy whose usage is over 30%.
Yeah.
Like,
but I mean, like,
watching Chicago games suck.
That's the thing as well. Like, it's almost an unwritten rule, but if there's just a negative energy around the player in his situation, he just doesn't get the award.
Yeah. There was also, I think, always an assumption that Zach LaVine could be the sort of player. So it's like most improved normally comes with like, that guy's putting up 23 points a game. It's like, I'm not shocked. Like, I knew Zach LaVine could score the basketball. He's just got the basketball more times in Chicago.
I feel like you've got to take the Oladipo leap, which is be the star of a team,
surprise
who's winning
people.
And who's winning as well. People. Like you have to be significant, right? The last award is Executive of the Year, which I think is a great award.
Yeah,
for great executives.
This is an award that
this
definitely
year's
exists.
Executive of the Year.
So in case no one's properly gone over it, I think I have three. Who could be up for it? John Horst is one with the Bucks.
Silly name.
Just
sounds made up.
John Horst.
John Horst.
John Horst is there. I think Sean Marks with the Nets is there.
Yeah. I'm all about that guy.
And I think that's like a cumulative award from
right on the mark with that one.
Sean Marks is on my thing. And the other one, I don't know who I put.
Masai Ujiri.
Well, Masai Ujiri was the other one.
Oh, sleeping on Jerry West.
Yeah.
Oh, Jerry West.
Yeah, big time.
Yeah, but
Jerry
West's decisions will come in the future. It's like you can't judge what he's done yet because we haven't seen it pan out.
But he's taken a team which proved to be toxic and has given the team two max slots.
Yeah.
So he's given them a heap of flexibility.
Got to fill them though.
Got young guys.
Mm.
Yeah,
I think next year when he fills those roles, I look into it. Yeah.
The flexibility he's given the Clippers this year.
Executive of the year would be a tough one to gauge because, like, do they do it just on that specific year or is it kind of like run with, like the moves he's made that is built
so
the year they've,
Sean,
they've had?
Sean Marks is a weird one because it's cumulatively.
Yeah.
Cumulatively?
It's a tricky one.
That'll do.
Cumulatively over the past few years.
Yeah.
A miracle. He's worked a miracle.
Right. And this is the year where it's almost all come together, right?
Yeah.
And so it's all been leading up to this. John Horst with the Bucks obviously made some good moves at the trade deadline. Obviously the moves before that to bring Budenholzer in.
Yeah.
That's a big thing. Ujiri could have almost shut down shop, said, hey, you know what, we're going to lose our star, whatever. But no, he's decided, hey, we're going to bring in Marc Gasol too. Like, screw it. Let's just see what happens, right? Well. Let's do that.
I think just, and I think Daryl Morey's a kind of sneaky one as well. Not in like a basketball sense, but on a monetary sense.
Gross.
Did you see how what he did to get
under the luxury?
He got the Rockets under the luxury tax.
Yeah, he also after put the them thing. Over the luxury tax and gave
yes,
Chris Paul
but he got them. He got them back under.
Oh, as in that's not exactly.
I just find that. Yeah, I just find that really impressive. That
as in,
gets
like,
missed.
If you're Daryl Morey, you're just
like how?
I'm sure he goes to sleep every night. He's just like, yeah, nice. I don't have to pay that luxury.
Is crawling.
I know. Yeah,
you suggesting?
Yeah, but. To that's get those like thing. Contracts on there and then get that under the luxury tax?
Yeah, yeah.
Must, but we're talking about money.
We're talking about.
Yeah, you should appreciate that.
Well, Sean Marks, like, that trade with Celtics back in the day was so bad, they should have been cursed. Like, they should have been cursed.
There was like a small Russian curse on that team.
Yeah, but how well he turned around within five seasons is.
Why Russian?
I actually crunched this week, actually, just to figure out, like, where are we now compared to what happened in that trade? And you take away all the on-selling and everything.
The draft picks and whatnot.
Yeah, all the draft picks, everything. The trade essentially is Jaylen Brown, Jason Tatum, and a first-round pick for D'Angelo Russell, Caris LeVert, Jarrett Allen, and a second-round pick.
Which is awesome, which is why Sean Marks is executive of the year.
That's damn good.
Mm. Yeah.
Executive of last year.
Hi, Tom. Hey, mate.
We just had this discussion.
Okay, so real quick, the argument against the Jerry West, I think, is the same as the argument against Scott Perry, Knicks GM, which is we don't know what's going to happen yet. Yeah. So if the Knicks get two free agents, is he the executive of next year?
Yes.
Like, probably.
Yeah.
Mm. And then shout out to Sam Presti just for convincing Paul George to stay and not even letting him get a meeting with the Lakers. Mm. Because Paul George is now this MVP candidate who somehow wanted to sign long term in Oklahoma City, whose tallest building is like this big.
He's got photos of PG-13. he's got some dirty. He's got some dirt on PG. Well, he didn't interview with anyone. He's like, you know what? I know there's another 29 teams, but okay, see.
I want to live in Oklahoma.
That's God. I'm suspicious now.
Man, have you seen the aerial shots of like Oklahoma when they the Chesapeake Arena when they're playing the games?
It's the biggest building like in the
yeah,
city.
Yeah, it's the tiniest town ever.
Yeah, like Madison Square Garden is like in this little thing like amid New York City.
Mm.
Oklahoma City is just Chesapeake Arena, and then some sort of like comparison. Like a cornfield.
Yeah,
and then I assume like a Chipotle or something.
Mm. I don't think Chipotle's got there yet.
I think Chipotle's the most ethnic food they have. Like.
Yeah.
And you can't get spicy, you can only get spicy. There's one more award we haven't talked about, and it's not in the NBA.
Ooh.
Ooh.
The Australian Podcast. And boy, oh boy, are we not nominated.
Is that because it's our fault though, right?
No, we are nominated.
Oh, we are nominated.
We're like part of the entry. And we'll find out soon if we are one of Australia's best sports. I mean, we already know we are. It's just whether we want to be recognized as one of Australia's best sports podcasts. We're waiting with bated breath, guys, if you're listening, and fans.
Who operates these?
Yeah, who votes for this?
We'll find out if they're worth it. I think there's an esteemed panel that listens to us idiots actually talk about basketball and then tries to figure out whether we're worth anything. So,
do they enjoy shameless self-promotion? That's the real question.
If they don't,
better luck next year.
We're not doing great. But yeah, we'll find out. I just wanted to add that in there.
No, cool. That's a good addition.
It's an award relevant to us.
Yeah.
Fingers well done.
Thanks.
So yeah, they're the awards. That's the end of the NBA season, which is coming up, right?
Mm, yeah.
As in we're
certainly drawing close.
Do we call this the home stretch?
Yeah.
20 games? It's the back quarter of the season.
So the final part of the season.
We're reaching the back quarter of the season.
Yeah, coming to an end.
I mean,
Brett Brown called it the third third.
The third third.
The third third of the season.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, if Brett Brown said it.
And he speaks funny.
Clearly, clearly. He called it the third third. Yeah.
It's the final third of the season.
I just can't picture it in his voice either.
The third third.
Coming into the third third of the season. I can't do it, Will. Yeah, it's a tricky one to
and
do.
Yet
the Massachusetts.
Keep trying.
I know. Well, you got to work on it. You're not gonna.
Most determined Tom.
We're still recording.
Before we head off, Tom, did you have a story you wanted to tell us?
Oh, sure. I can tell you.
Oh, no, guys, I think we were wrong.
Yeah, he just cut it off right here. But yeah, beat Josh Hart in a game of horse.
So after
a game of pig. Let's not cut. Yeah.
We were in Staples Center after a Lakers game, a Lakers loss. There were a group of people on Staples Center shooting around. Mm-hmm. They were part of some sort of initiative.
Firstly, can we just discuss how weird it is being in NBA locker rooms, especially after a loss when no one wants to talk?
Totally. I think we're talking about the game with Josh Hart.
Yeah, but that leads into it, though, because that's okay. Just...
So the game finished. We went out toward the court. There was some initiative going on where a bunch of people were just shooting around. And Tom saw, ball, and he went and started shooting around.
All right.
That's legit. That's how he thinks.
Pretty much.
And he started shooting. Josh Hart was, the special guest for this thing. Started shooting as well. Tom...
He was just so lonely. He was just standing there. No one was talking to him. So
because everyone's afraid. So.
Yeah, do you want to play a game of horse? And he was like,
pig.
Sure. And no, this is it. I'm telling you how the conversation went verbatim. And I was like, no, let's just play verbatim. Pig because you obviously haven't got a lot of time. Yeah. And he said, all right, man, why not?
So I was there. Harrison was there. A lot of people were there. Tom did beat Josh Hart in a game of pig.
Smoked him.
I got on camera.
Yeah.
And Tom, you kept calling him buddy, which is so not okay.
Why? Is that condescending?
I don't know. You champed him.
I think that's coming from my time in Canada as well. They say it a lot there.
You say buddy a lot.
Yeah, I say buddy a lot. But people don't know that if they've never met me before. Yeah. Yeah, true. I buddied KD as well. I was like, good game. Good luck tonight, buddy. And he just
before the game.
Oh my brushed God. Me.
Could you
just
be more me. What?
Yeah. I offered a fist bump as well and it just...
Oh, hey, how about a fist bump, hey, buddy?
My buddy, my guy?
Tom's fist bump demonstration there as well was vertical.
Yeah.
I don't know what that is.
That's why no one ever takes it. I think that's my problem.
Just turn that one horizontal.
Let's work on that.
That's some sort of Mormon fist bump. I like that. That was Tom's story. That was a really
fun... In all seriousness, that's a good story.
That's impressive. Yeah, it wasn't just like... Weird shots too. I think it was a left-handed free throw that beat.
Yeah, I got him with the left-handed floater.
That's his go-to.
And then a left-handed free throw. Yeah, being ambidextrous really does help.
I think he beat me with that in horse
earlier that day. So I had some practice. I got a good warm-up in.
Against the best.
Yeah, against some quality competition.
Thank you.
So
that's Tom's story.
I hit my first 4-3 four threes.
It's from still NBA going. Range. Okay.
Yeah, first 4-3s. Just want to say that. Yeah.
Just put your hand up when you're done.
We can sit here for hours and talk about it.
Thank you so much for joining us, everybody. It's been real. It's cool to have the group back together again.
Is it?
It's been fun.
Before we leave, are we going back to our regular routine of recording Sunday evenings and dropping the podcast on Mondays?
I believe so. This is a conversation we should have with everyone, obviously.
Yes. Yeah.
Well, everyone, as in our listeners. Let's let them know.
Yeah,
you're a part of our family.
Oh.
So thanks again. Thanks for joining League Pass and Chill. We'll see you guys next week.
Bye.
Bye. Bye.